All right. Let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. And Father, we are so grateful that we can be here today. We are excited over the things that you're doing in our midst. And we just pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. Give us ears to hear the things that you want us to hear today in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, looking at verses 1 through 6. The title of this message is Jesus the Good Shepherd. Jesus the Good Shepherd. This is part one of this message. Now to us here living in America, shepherds and sheep does not mean a thing to us. But for those who were listening to Jesus speak, knew exactly what he was talking about. Talking to the Jews about shepherds and sheep was like talking to Texans about cowboys, or Californians about surfing, or West Virginians about coal mining. And so we need to get some background on sheep and shepherds in the days of Jesus so we can understand the listeners who were hearing him give this message, so we can have an idea of what's going on. Now, a shepherd in Jesus's day would be dressed in a cotton tunic held together with a leather belt. He had a leather pouch to carry dried fruits or small stones in for his sling. The sling was used to ward off predators. And you remember David in 1 Samuel 17, verse 40, he had a sling and a leather pouch called a shepherd's bag, from which he had five smooth stones inside of it. One was for Goliath, and what was the other four for? Just in case he missed or he wasn't a good shot or something? No, Goliath had four of the brothers. And one was for each of them, according to 2 Samuel 21, verses 15 to 22. The shepherd also carried a horn of oil. The oil was used to anoint the heads of the sheep, not only as an insect repellent, to keep the bugs and ticks off, but also to reduce the friction when sheep act like goats and start to headbutt each other. Oh, you remember what David said in Psalm 23, verse 5. He says, "You anointed my head with oil." Oh, I love this analogy because we know that oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, according to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 and 22. And oh, how we need a fresh anointing of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. How do you know when we need a fresh touch of God's Spirit? When little things start to bug and tick us off. Let me ask you this, what is bugging you today? What is bugging you today? What is ticking you off? Maybe it's your job that you've been complaining about all week. Maybe it's something going on at home or in the family. And whatever it is, it shows that the oil has run dry in your life and you need the Lord to apply a fresh batch of oil on your head. We know also putting the oil on the sheep's head kept them from hurting each other. And when they behave like goats and started headbutting one another. And maybe you're here today and you've been butting heads with someone. Who is it that you've been butting heads with and the person just came to your mind right now? Maybe it is someone at work. Maybe it's a neighbor. This shows that the oil on your head has run dry and you need a fresh application on your head by the Lord. And when the oil is there, it won't keep you from having friction with people. It will just keep you from being hurt because the oil will cause you to slide off of each other. Well, you say, well, I can tell this week I need a fresh touch of the Lord's Spirit in my life. How do I get it? Well, it's simple. It's yours for the asking. Luke 11, verse 13 said, "If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" You don't have to run around. the church to get God to do it. You don't have to do flips and cartwheels for the Lord in order for him to do it. It's yours for the asking. You don't have to come up front and scream to the Lord, Lord, you know. We, for some reason in the church, we think that loud talking is the anointing of the Spirit. And that you need to talk loud because God is in some faraway land called heaven. And that you need to talk loud so your voice can reach him up there. Mm-mm. Is yours simply for the asking. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If your children came up to you, Mommy! Mommy, Mommy, Mommy! Man, look at you. Can I have a cookie? Cookie, 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 cookie. You will look and say, what's wrong with you? First of all, why are you yelling? But why is it that we do God like that? Oh, God! Y'all came out of churches like that and you know it. Kind of mad screaming, loud, just crazy and stuff. And it's ours for the asking. Another instrument that the shepherd had was a small club called a rod. It was a wooden instrument, and it was used to fight off predators in close hand-to-hand combat. But it was also used as an instrument of correction. If a lamb would constantly and persistently wandered away from the flock, the shepherd would take that rod, and he would see the sheep constantly wandering away. He would take it, and he would throw it, and he would break the legs of the sheep. Oh, many people say, well, that's mean. That's cruel. No, 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 no. Watch this. Watch this. The shepherd would then go and take that little lamb and pick and scoop it up and put it around his shoulders. And he would carry that lamb around until the legs of that lamb healed. And he would be speaking words of comfort and words of peace. When the sheep would try to wiggle and want to get down, no, 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 no. And he would just speak words of peace. And what happened is, after a period of time, when the legs of the little sheep would heal up, he would place the sheep down. And shepherds in this time, they say that that sheep never will go astray again because of the bond that was developed during the breaking process. Oh, the same is true in our lives. Jesus, our good shepherd, sometimes has to break our legs because we have a tendency of going astray. For you note takers, you remember Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have a tendency of going astray. And so if you feel like you've been broken today, you're in the midst of the breaking process, don't use this time to have a pity party. Use the time to draw ever so close to the Lord, developing a closer bond with him, reading his love letter to you, the Bible, and always allowing him to speak through his word, speak words of comfort and words of peace to you, praying to him, just sharing with other people what you're learning from the Lord. And when you do this, this breaking process has a way of breaking us from these wandering tendencies that we have. Or maybe you're here and every few months you find yourself straying off. The Lord sees that, and sometimes he has to take the rod and he has to break our legs, not to be mean, but so it can break us of these wandering tendencies, and so a bond can develop during this breaking process. So once again, if you feel like you're going through this breaking process, Jesus, our good shepherd, is trying to break you from something, or watch this, or someone. And he's using this breaking process in order to break us free from those things that has us wandering off. Oh, finally, the shepherd had a staff, which was a large stick, some 7 to 8 feet tall, with a crook on the end, you know, a little bo peep hook on the end. And he would use that hook when sheep were going in the wrong direction. He will also use the staff to apply pressure. When the sheep were getting too close to the edge, he will use that stick and just apply pressure to get it to get away from the edge of the cliff. And however, if the shepherd sees that the sheep is about to go over the edge, he will use that hook and he will rescue that particular sheep. And if you feel like the Lord has just snatched you, it could be because he sees you heading toward danger, heading towards the edge of the cliff of life. And if he continues to let you go that way, you're going to get hurt. And maybe a relationship has been snatched from you, or a job or a position has been snatched from you. Just realize if you feel this way, it could be that the Lord has just saved you from something or someone who would have brought you great harm. So instead of pouting and having a pity party, rejoice, because Jesus, our good shepherd, is trying to keep us from danger. Now that we have an idea of the shepherd and sheep in the days of Jesus, now we understand the mindset of the listeners that were listening to Jesus. Let's see what he was trying to teach them using himself as the good shepherd. Look at verses 1 and 2. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, I want to bring to your attention, most assuredly, that phrase, the first phrase there in verse 1. We already have seen previously when Jesus starts off a statement by saying most assuredly or truly, truly, he is about to introduce an important truth, and that is that he is the good shepherd in contrast to the false shepherds, which were the religious leaders he was addressing. Remember, we left off in chapter 9 with Jesus talking to them and telling them that they thought that they could see. But Jesus said, you're really blind. And Jesus is saying that you are teaching the people to look for the Messiah, and you're too blind to see that I am the Messiah that you have been rejecting. And so Jesus tells them in verse 1, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. See, during the days of the time that the shepherds would have their sheep, they would normally move them from place to place, because whenever the sheep is in the area, they will eat the grass that's there. And if the shepherd never moved them to other places, they will begin to eat the roots and the dirt that's there, because they've already eaten up all the grass. So it's the job of the shepherd to lead them to other areas, greener pastures, in order for them to feed better. Oh, you remember what David said? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And sometimes the Lord has to uproot us from places that we're comfortable in, to move us into areas that there are greener pastures so we can feed better. And this is why many of you have been transferred, military or transferred job-wise, to here. And you're whining and complaining, oh, I hated it in Virginia, man, my last duty station, man, I just tell you, it was so much better. And God uprooted you from that which was comfortable to greener pastures so you can feed. He brought you to our church so you can feed on the Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book. If I had a penny for every time someone said, I've learned more in 6 months than I have in 20 years of being a Christian, it's because God uprooted you from that which was comfortable and has placed you to another area here where it's greener and you can feed better on the Word of God. Oh, we hate to be uprooted because we like for things to be comfortable. We like for things to be easy. We like for things to go our way all the time. But sometimes if God will just leave us there, we will begin to, there's no more grass, we just begin to eat the roots and the dirt that's there. And so he has to uproot us and move us to areas where we can feed better. And maybe you here and you feel like the Lord has uprooted you. It's because he wants you to feed in a better environment. And so these shepherds, when evening came, they would put the sheep in the enclosed area. Normally that enclosed area would be in front of the house. It would be surrounded by a stone wall that was some 7 to 8 feet tall. And on top of the very wall, they would put these briars and thorns to provide an extra measure of security. And so Jesus is saying, if anyone tried to gain access into the sheepfold by climbing up some other way instead of going through the gate, is obvious a thief and a robber, according to verse 1. The way it would take place is it was normally a two-man operation. One guy will stand on the shoulders of the other guy and they will climb over the wall. He will go and slit the throats of about 4 or 5 sheep and toss them over the wall to his buddy on the other side. And that's how they would do it. Let me bring some broader understanding of these terms. The Greek word for thief is kleptes, and of course is where we get our English word kleptomaniac. It carries the idea of deception, the inability to refrain from stealing. The second word was a robber. Lites is the Greek word. It means to seize by force. And so here it is here that Jesus is contrasting the good shepherd, because he starts off in verse 2 with the conjunction but. And he says, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is saying the good shepherd comes into the sheepfold the right way. He doesn't enter any other way. He comes in by the door, according to verse 2. The Greek word for shepherd is poimen, and it means one who feeds and leads and protects the flock. It is the general term for shepherd. Jesus is saying real shepherds don't need to approach the sheep like thieves and robbers by climbing over the wall. No, the true shepherd comes through the door. He approaches the sheep the right way. Oh, look what he said there in verse 3. It says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, there are times by which a group of shepherds would be out. They would be away from their home. And as they see each other out in the middle of nowhere, and many times they will put their sheep together in one sheepfold. They will also have one guy, one shepherd hang back who is called the watchman or the doorkeeper. And as the shepherds will go into the village to conduct business and get supplies, they will leave this one particular shepherd or doorkeeper back. Now, the next day, the way that the shepherds knew which sheep were theirs, you remember they put them all together at that particular time, each shepherd had a distinct call or a song to which his own sheep knew, and they would come running. And sometimes he even had names for them, showing that the shepherds knew each one of his sheep personally. Oh, let me just say right here, sometimes you think that you're forgotten, that you think you're unknown. Does God even see, or does God even care about me and what I'm going through? Let me tell you something. He not only knows you, but he knows you by name. And he knows personally what you're going through and what you're dealing with. And he calls you by name, even as it says here. I want to bring something to your attention. Look at the last part of verse 4, as you were verse 3, when it says, and he leads them out. And when he brings them, verse 4 says, out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Notice that last part of verse 3, it says he leads them out. Shepherds at this time would never drive the sheep, but they will gently lead them, going before them. Oh, isn't this what the Lord does for us? He leads us. He doesn't drive us. This is why David said in Psalm 23, verse 2 and verse 3, he leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As Americans, We drive ourselves and we drive others. We are a driven people, a driven society. But I'm so glad that Jesus, our good shepherd, doesn't drive me, but he leads me. In other words, he goes first through the valley of the shadow of death before he ever asked me to go through it. Oh, this is why David said in Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Oh, this is also why in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it said that we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. In other words, there's nothing we will ever face that Jesus has never faced or isn't feeling. And what am I saying? Jesus doesn't drive us into battle. He doesn't drive us into trials and temptation. He leads us. He goes before us to prepare the way. See, it was the shepherd's job. Before he would lead them into greener pastures, he would go before them to the area that he was going to lead the sheep. He had to remove the rocks and the weeds. And so when the sheep come and feed, they're not feeding on weeds or feeding on chewing on rocks and breaking teeth. And so he will always go before them to do this. And it was the shepherd's job to do this so they could feed unhindered. And our good shepherd goes before us and leads us. And this is why verse 4 says, and when he brings them out, his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Well, let me just stop right here. Do you know the voice of the Lord? Many people think they do. The voice of the Lord lines up with the word of God. Many people say, well, you know, the Lord led me to do this and led me to do that. They say that so you will not challenge their horrible decision that they're making, because they said the Lord led them. And so you back up and say, ooh, well, if God led them, well, I can't do anything about that. Oh, I don't put up with that. I just say, Lord didn't lead you. You lying on the Lord. You know how I know? Because that which you're doing contradicts this verse, and this verse. The voice of the Lord lines up with the word of God. And that's how I can know, and that's how I can tell folks that that decision you're making, that's not the Lord. Well, you know, the Lord, well, you know, the Lord is leading him to leave his wife, and the Lord is leading me to leave my husband so we can be together. I said, the devil is a liar. The Lord ain't lead you to, the Lord ain't told you that, ain't told y'all that. That is contrary to the word of God. And when people rely on the Lord, see, and you take it, you like, oh, well, God told him, who am I to say what? I'm here to tell you. No, that's not true, because the voice of God lines up with the word of God. This is why I also encourage you, you must know the word of God. This is why we teach the entire Bible, so you can know the word of God, because people will come up super duper spiritual and they will say, you know, well, the Lord told me to tell you this, this, and this. And I always look at them first and say, did the Lord forget how to tell me something? Why he had to skip me to go to you? Did the Lord forget how to talk to me? Did he forget my address, my number, that now he has to go through you to tell me something? Now, if the Lord is truly leading them to tell you something, it will be confirmed inside. You will say, you know what? God has been, he's been speaking to me about that all week. Yeah, you know, that's right. But here's the thing. You have to know the word of God yourself in order to know what they're telling you is of the Lord. If you don't know the Bible, somebody come up to you and say, the Lord told me to tell you. You're like, whoa, I better follow that. Because they said, the Lord told me to tell you. And all of a sudden, yeah, the Lord told me to tell you that we're to be married. I'm already married. You got to know the word. You have to know the word for yourself. Look at verse 5. Look what it says there. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In this verse, Jesus is saying that the sheep will not follow a stranger, but flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So Jesus is saying that the sheep can always tell when a stranger comes because the sheep will scatter. They will become disoriented. They will become nervous. They can sense that something isn't quite right. Sheep always need a shepherd. I'm always saddened when I see churches who are without a shepherd, without a pastor for long periods of time. I feel sorry for the church, number one, because it's sheep trying to lead themselves. And then number two, I feel sorry for the next pastor who come in, because then they're so used to running themselves. He try to come in and say something they don't like, they're going to run him out of there. And I've seen many of that kind of stuff happen, because sheep need a constant digest of the word of God. They need to be taught. They need to be fed. They need to be led. They need to be protected. And that's the shepherd's job. And so when a church goes long periods of time without a shepherd, I always get nervous. Very popular, not only popular, should I say, a very successful church that I know, been without a pastor for several months now. The pastor went to be with the Lord. And they've had several people come in, you know, to try to hold it down. And people were leaving and they said, you know what, that church, I'm leaving because that church is directionless. Sheep need a shepherd. And when folks come in and it's a strange voice, they flee because they don't recognize the voice of the shepherd. That one particular pastor had been there 30 plus years. And so now different people just coming in to kind of fill in. The sheep are like, ooh, they get disoriented and nervous and they start scattering. They need a shepherd. They need a shepherd to scoop them in. Now, look what it says there in verse 6. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, Jesus used this illustration of shepherds and sheep to clearly drive home his point to the religious leaders he was addressing. They are the they in this particular verse here that Jesus was referring to. Now, the Greek word for illustration, it describes that which was veiled, a veiled language, that which is conceals a symbolic meaning. And even though the illustration was plain enough for them to understand, they failed to grasp the significance. They so believed that because they were descendants of Abraham, they were a part of God's flock, that they totally missed the indictment of Jesus on them as he was illustrating that he was the good shepherd and they were the false shepherds or the thieves and robbers he just talked about. It totally went whoop right over their heads. And Jesus knew it went right over their heads. And guess what? He's not done talking with them. He's going to bring home and drive home his point about sheep and shepherd and go a little bit more in details about this this illustration that we will see God's will next week as we pick it up in verse 7. Because Jesus knew it went right over their heads, that they missed it. And so he's going to go more in detail about this thing of sheep and shepherds, that fascinating stuff that we're going to look at God's will next time. Let me conclude with this. Don't forget Jesus is the good shepherd that applies the oil of his Holy Spirit upon our lives. So to keep things from bugging and ticking us off, we need a fresh supply of his Spirit to keep us from headbutting each other. And we instead, when the oil is upon us, we just roll off. We need a fresh supply and a fresh application of the Spirit of God. And maybe you're here and you need that in your life. Remember, it's yours for the asking. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And sometimes shepherds, as we have just finished looking at, used his rod and his staff. That's why, you know, it always amazed me when I would read Psalm 23, say your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm like, how can a rod comfort us? Oh, it was in the breaking process. That's where the comfort comes, where he scoops us up and puts us around his neck and speak words of comfort. Maybe you're being broken right now. He wants to scoop you up and put you around his neck and just rub and soothe you, speak words of comfort and peace to you. It's not a time for pouting. It's a time of drawing close and closer to the good shepherd who loves you so dearly. Finally, don't forget that we have a shepherd that understands what we're going through because he's already gone before us. That's why the Bible says we don't have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. He's gone before us. So no matter what you're going through, you can pray to him and Jesus understands. He understands what you're dealing with, what you're going through, and he cares. The final thing I want to say, do you know the voice of Jesus? Remember, the voice of the Lord will line up with the word of God. And if you're here and you don't know the good shepherd at all, we want to take the time to introduce you to Jesus, the good shepherd. And he will lead you by still waters. He will lead you by greener pastures. And he's a good shepherd that will lead and guide your life into peace where there's nothing but chaos all around you. That's the good shepherd we want to introduce to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will draw people unto you today. Oh, Lord, I just pray that your sheep who are being broken today will come to you and draw ever so close to you. Lord, I pray for those who don't know you as the good shepherd. They've never repented of their sin. They've never confessed and believed that you died on the cross and was buried and rose again. They never ask you to come into their hearts. I pray that today, Lord, that they would do that today. Lord, I pray, God, for your people that they may know your voice, that they may know your word. Oh, God, I pray. Draw your people to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.